sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pitch. Line fair over first down the right field line, rolling to the right field corner. Extra base hit. One run has scored. Two runs score. Here comes Betts. He scores. It is a three-run bases clearing double off the bat of Benintendi. And Boston has blown it open. They take a 7-0 lead.
That broke it open last night. It was 3-0 Red Sox. Benintendi in the fourth inning puts it out of reach for the Yankees. That's where I think the game ended. That fourth inning, what a blunder by Aaron Boone. What a great job by the Red Sox to capitalize, taking advantage of the stupidity over there.
Oh, that's the thing.
In New York.
Yeah, it's one thing to make the dumb error and you just say, hey, it's the wrong guy I went with, or I left the guy in too long. You still have to hit him out of it. And they did that.
Got to make him pay.
It's credit to them. They were ready to go. That team was ready to go from the get-go, and I think that's even more of an indictment on that manager compared to what you have here in Boston. Seems like Alex Cora right now is pushing all the right buttons, getting his team ready to go.
So in that fourth inning, for some reason, Aaron Boone decides that Severino should go out for the fourth inning. It should start the fourth inning, which doesn't make any sense, given that it was 3-0 at that point. There is a quick hook in the playoffs. He should have given that quick hook to Severino after the Red Sox got three in the bottom, the top of the third. I'm being at Yankee Stadium. Top of the third, Red Sox get three. And that was with a Betts single. That was with a Benintendi single. That was the sack fly by JD. Then it was followed up with another single by Bogarts. And then you had Devers, who, you know, couldn't keep that going. But the Red Sox get three that inning. You did score a run on the Devers ground out. Fielder's choice. So it was pretty obvious. Like he was not effective by the third inning. I mean, he just didn't have it. Late start to the game. Didn't know what time the game started. Had to be told by his pitching coach that the game started at 7:40. And so at 7:32, he started getting ready for the game. That happened yesterday. We haven't heard from Severino yet today on this show about this. We did hear the Ron Darling report that
the James Woods ones. Yes,
most people did hear. That most people heard.
The game started at 7:40. I don't know what he's doing.
Larry Rothschild, the pitching coach of the Yankees, having a word with Luis Severino, who was a little late getting down to the bullpen here tonight. 7:32 before he delivered his first pitch. It's time to play ball, Ron.
If you read lips, pitching coach Larry Rothschild told him, said 7:40. Almost like maybe Severino didn't know it was a 7:40 start. Not that he had to rush through his warm-up, but it's always uneven when he went out there at 7:32. Very late for a starter to go on the mound.
Late.
So now
7:32, 8 minutes before the game starts, he starts to get ready for the game.
But he's right in the sense that he tried to say, you know, hey, he did it, but it's not like he had to rush it. It is what it is. But then mentally as a pitcher, or all of a sudden everything's heightened, you're like, you start to, I don't want to say hyperventilate, but like, holy crap, how did I screw this up? Now I'm not right. Now I'm not my normal routine. These guys are freaks about routine, right? About getting out there, we're going to do it a certain way. We're going to do it same way every single time. This is how pitchers get ready. But now all of a sudden, it gets in your head at the beginning of the game too. Okay, oh God, did I rush through my warm-up?
So this is clearly on Boone. Like, how do you not have this?
It's on you said the whiteboard.
Like, the whiteboard, like somewhere.
How many games have you been at? How
does a player not know the start of the game? Never mind the starting pitcher of a playoff game, not know what time the game is going to start.
Is there a whiteboard in any locker room or clubhouse where you've ever been in pre or post where you haven't seen, the countdown board? Every team to every game has that countdown board.
Like a rundown.
Brad Stevens handwrites it.
Our game starts at this time. Here are the officials tonight. Like, those exist. So where is that? Where the hell is that? How do you... You have a staff of like a million people.
You're
there.
The starting pitcher at Yankee Stadium in a swing game.
Make the starting pitcher aware of what time the game starts. You're telling him at 7:30 that the game starts in 10 minutes. Wow. Nice operation you have there, Booney. Nice operation. Way to go. So I put that on the manager. He obviously denied it after the game.
Oh, he's throwing batting
He
practice.
Denied it. Oh, no. That didn't, I don't know what. No, it's fine. He has to deny it because if he admits it, he looks terrible. The pitcher also to a lesser degree, I think, looks bad not knowing when the game started, but he denied it as well. Here's Severino.
Did you warm up later than usual?
But there was talk on TV, Ron Darling, so still warming up. And
who?
Ron Darling on TV.
So I mean,
okay. Why does that matter? Who said it? Who?
Well, this is their I'm better than you. Or,
what?
Okay, who's criticizing
me? What does
me?
Who have to do with it?
It's him taking a shot at Darling.
What does that have to do with anything?
Doesn't matter. It's him taking a shot at Darling. Who's going to criticize me?
That is trying to cause a distraction. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to do there.
Who said it? He doesn't know me. He doesn't know our schedule.
You're trying to redirect the attention onto something completely different. Who? Who said that? What? No, well, it was Ron Darling. What?
Still warming up. And
who?
Ron Darling on TV.
So I mean, if my pitching coach said that to you, you could believe it. But, you know, he's not. Whatever he said that, he's not always in my bullpen. How he knows what time is going out. No, I came out 20 minutes before the game, like I usually do, so I don't know what he was saying. I don't know who that guy is either. Yeah, I always go to the bullpen 10 and 8 minutes before the game. I work my quickly, so that's open my plan.
I went from 20 to 10.
So it went from 20 to 10 there.
And then it got down to 8.
One sentence.
What's that? 20
to 10. It went from I always go out 20 minutes to I always go out 10 minutes before the game.
A little bit of a language.
How would he know? Did you hear that answer?
I took 20 to 10.
How would he know he wasn't in the bullpen? Because he's got a set of eyes and he's in the stadium. And he can see where you are. And he can see what time you went to the bullpen. That's how.
And he can see your
pitching coach. And he knew that you went to the bullpen 8 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
And I bet you could be searching for a long time to find a pitcher who's fully aware of the start time of his start, who goes to the bullpen 8 minutes before the start.
Where were those hitters he was throwing against, too, that Boone referenced, you know, in his warm-up? He's down there throwing. He only threw
I don't know what Boone was talking about.
What the hell were they all talking about? None of them got their story
straight. He faced a couple of hitters down there in the bullpen. Yeah,
did he, in fact, warm up late? And if so, why?
No, he got his normal pitches, routine, faced his couple of hitters down there. So, no issue with that.
I'm telling you, somebody laughed at that comment in the background. There's a chuckle stupidity of the comment.
If that were real, wouldn't his reaction be different? He'd be like, what? Wait, what are you talking about? He was so confident and ready to go with that answer. No, absolutely not. So he knew, like, where that line of questioning was coming from. Okay, he was aware that people were made aware of him having gone to the bullpen late.
Could you imagine being in
it? If it were regular, if everything were routine, like tonight, if someone goes to Alex Cora after the game and says, hey, did Rick Porcello, you know, get his routine, his pregame routine started late? He'd be like, huh? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Where's that coming from?
Could you imagine being in that dugout?
No,
like,
of course he knew.
Of course he knew.
He had 2.5 hours after he left the game to go back to the clubhouse, check his phone, take a shower, do whatever else he did.
Right, so he was fully aware. No, but I'm saying not the player. I'm talking about Boone. Boone knew.
Could you imagine being Boone?
Boone knew that it was an issue. He wasn't. He knew that question was coming.
Could you imagine being Boone in that dugout and you're looking at your bench coach or your pitching coach and he's talking like, where the F is Severino?
I wonder who knows.
My favorite part of the game with Boone, by the way, it was just the part where he and Rothschild are like, who's going to pitch the ninth inning? And they're shuffling through papers and they're going through the binder and they throw that lefty out there who can't find the plate, who can't do anything.
And by the way,
that guy was hopeless. I don't even know his name. I'm not going to remember his name because he's never going to see the mound again.
They ran out of mound visits last night. I don't know that I've seen, like, have the Red Sox ever run out of those mound visits? Have they?
No.
I just, maybe it's something we don't pay a lot of attention to in the regular season. But they ran out of mound visits. They didn't have any more mound visits.
Yeah, that poor lefty was just out there just floundering. He had no chance.
This would be a fun show today. I'm sure the fan is crushing Aaron Boone today for being.
Frances's post-game show on his app must have been great.
I heard, did he not do one? Did he blow it off?
No, Saturday he blew it off because it was a blowout. After the Sanchez
home
run,
last
made it
night?
6-2.
Did he do one last night?
There's no point in doing one after a blowout, he said.
Well, last night was certainly a blowout. There's no point to it last night if you don't do them in blowouts. That was a blowout. And the Yankees contributed to their demise because their manager doesn't know what he's doing. More on Aaron Boone because I don't understand when he finally did get around to taking Severino out of the game, why in the world he went to Lance Lynn. Worthy of a discussion. More of your calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Well, here's a 3-0. Bases loaded, no one out. Red Sox try to break it open. The pitch is inside, ball four. A four-pitch walk after Bradley went to first on a four-pitch walk. Holt scores, give Betts an RBI, and Boston has a 4-0 lead.
What a bad choice by Aaron Boone. Bad, bad decision-making by the manager of the New York Yankees last night. Not that, you know what, his bad decisions may not have saved the team. They only scored one run by the end of the night, and Nathan Eovaldi was just so good that I don't know that it would make a difference, but it is worth talking about, man. Aaron Boone is a dope. I'd hate to have him as the manager of my team. It's just as a fan. Never mind being someone who's like in a position of actual importance. Like, if you're Brian Cashman watching that play out last night, what the hell are you thinking to yourself?
That was my
part. About Aaron Boone.
Yeah, really critical.
What are you thinking?
That's your job. Yeah, so, that's your handpicked guy.
He lets Severino go back out for the fourth. We've covered that. Ridiculous, bad choice. He then lets Severino load him up. Loads them up. And then once they are loaded with no outs, instead of going to any of the hard-throwing guys, the power arms out of his bullpen. Obviously, a lot of people in New York say think that should have been Betances. But he's got a roster back there full of guys. Green, who later made it in. Hard-throwing guy. You've got Betances. You've got Green. You've got Robertson. You've got Zach Britton, who was a closer in Baltimore, and now is, you know, part-time closer, setup guy in New York. I don't think you're going to use Chapman there, but you got to mention him because this tells you, if his thought process was, you've got to save those guys for the later innings, you've got enough guys, you can use one of those guys earlier and still have plenty at the back end of your bullpen if you do tie it up or you do take a lead there. But what your mission should have been with bases loaded, no outs, was to get a guy in there who's got the ability to strike guys out. You get someone in there who's got the ability to get outs and not let runs score. Someone who's really going to get in there and give you a chance to minimize the damage and minimize the mistake that you made by letting Severino go out. If you had put Lance Lynn in the game to start the inning, I could see it. Bottom of the order. And you're bringing Lance Lynn in with a clean inning. But the way he handled that is inexcusable. What are you doing, man? Like, what thought did you have there that made you think, like, yeah, this makes sense. This is what we should be doing here.
Yeah, but I mean, even after, you know, he decided to let him go out there for that fourth inning, he said it that he wanted to let him get it going. He said, try and find something to get it going. Once that first guy's on, boom, yank him. Get him out. Like, what are you letting it? He pulled him too late. He shouldn't even been out there for the fourth. I don't even understand why he put him out there for the fourth.
Nobody does.
Yeah, we got to get it going.
Nobody gets that. Here's a question.
You knew he didn't have it last night.
Here's the question I have about him going forward. Will he make that same mistake tonight?
No, I think you talk it over prior to that game. My point with Cashman earlier is, you know, it's probably not the in-game stuff that he's deciding, but damn it, we're not going to do that again. We're not doing that tonight.
First two runners get on. He might pull Sabathia in the first inning.
You may have created a reverse
panic. It may help.
He may get rattled.
He might get more rattled.
He may get rattled.
I'm going to go way, way, way completely opposite what
because,
I did last.
And you know what? It just looks like he doesn't have a feel for the game.
Right.
Which is shocking. You don't even really need to have a great feel for the game. You just have to know something.
You took a TV guy out of the booth and put him in a dugout.
But he's a former major league player.
Right. But it just seems like he's just there. Even going back to games this year, it's just it's popping a gum, popping a sunflower seed. You know,
it's no presence.
Watch Cora. Watch Cora at the edge of the dugout.
None
and watch how he deals with guys. Watch how he turns, looks at the monitor. Look at the communication between everybody in that dugout. There's no hesitation with anything. You know, talk about being on top of it. That's where you get exposed. Night and day difference between the two. And this isn't just even about last night. It's about the entire year when you watch these guys.
Ron Darling stands by what he said last night about everything to do with Severino.
That he came out, as far as time coded.
That it was unusual. John Harper, who writes for SNY, writes this on SNY's website. A day later, despite denials from all involved on the Yankee side, Ron Darling is standing by his comments that Luis Severino appeared to be late for his warm-up Monday before the ALDS Game 3 loss to the Red Sox. You told SNY by phone today, it seemed unusual to me. That's why I brought it up. A lot of people can disagree, but really, I don't know how they could. Darling said that Severino began throwing at 7:32. We played that. He followed it up with this today. He said everything was time-stamped. Severino didn't step on the field until 7:23, 17 minutes before first pitch. And he didn't throw a pitch until 7:32, 8 minutes before first pitch last night. And there's video of him being told by Larry Rothschild that the game starts at 7:40. He was telling him what time the game started. Why would he be doing that? Because the guy didn't know what time the game started. That's why you would tell someone the game starts at 7:40. On top of that, this was on in New York, Yes Network. John Flaherty working post-game on the Yankees broadcast. And, you know, like Nesson does a post-game locally. Yeah. Here's what he said about everything that went on with Severino before the game.
There's no way. No way. The only time I've ever seen anything like this happen is if a relief pitcher was starting a game and he would come down and just go through his normal, get his gun hot, go in the game. Starting pitchers, to Jack's point, at least a half hour before the game, you're in the outfield running, you're long tossing, then you make your way to the mound and gradually you build into it. There's no way you can go on a big league bullpen mound 8 minutes before the scheduled first pitch and expect to be ready.
There you go. Former catcher, guy that's did that his entire life.
That's an indictment right
there. Guy who's closely tied to what the starting pitcher is doing prior to the game every night.
Yeah, the TBS broadcast, you have eyes everywhere, too. I mean, everybody, you had people down in the field. Everybody talks. I mean, this is a big game last night. Of course, the booth is going to be alerted to it. And if you're Ron Darling and you're a former pitcher, you get it even more. So you get it from a pitcher and an actual catcher that actually knows what's going on.
The 7:23 timestamp is important because Severino, in all of his nonsensical answer, he said, "Well, I'm always out there 20 minutes before. I'm always out there 10 minutes before." Like, he changes what it was.
Would this have happened?
And so even if it is always 20 minutes, guess what? You were still late. You got out there 17 minutes before.
Who?
Who? Who said that?
Would this have happened with Joe Girardi?
Ron Darling.
If Joe Girardi was still manager there, would that have happened? Probably not. I would think that guy would have his finger on it.
I don't think that would happen.
A little more intense.
You know,
Boone's just laid back, man.
So you've got a former pitcher, Ron Darling, a former catcher, John Flaherty. Both of them saying this is ridiculous and that's outrageous and this guy was clearly late. And then you got Boone and Severino denying it all. No, definitely not. Definitely not late.
Pitches, routine, faced his couple hitters down there.
I hear it now.
Thank you. They are laughing at him in his post-game press conference.
Off. Did you hear it? There is a chuckle.
Play it again. There's a chuckle.
Just a couple hitters down there.
There's a guy in the back of the room like,
"What hitters? What, in a pregame bullpen?
Boone,
what?
You dumbass.
In a warm-up, you're throwing to hitters?"
Faced his couple hitters down there.
Was it a cough or a laugh?
That's a laugh.
I think it's a laugh.
I want to hear.
I hope it's a laugh. I want it to be a laugh. I don't want it to be a cough.
Faced his couple hitters down there.
It's like the Animal House scene.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I accidentally pressed pause on my recorder. Say that again, please.
Oh, God. Absolutely fabulous.
Get his gun hot.
Get his gun.
That's a new one for me.
I like that one, though. That's a good one.
Yeah, that one resonates.
He's gonna get his hot. He's gonna get his gun hot.
Get his gun hot.
Start smoking it. Pop it.
Did you notice the message that Alex Cora was sending last night in the late innings? Did you catch this?
Which one?
There was a message being sent by the manager. I thought Alex Cora had such a great night last night. Credit to Alex Cora. Let's talk more about the Red Sox manager and something he did that maybe some of you were already in bed for and missed. We'll get to that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Excuse me, Red Sox and Yankees will play game four tonight. The Sox now have a 2-1 series lead after their 16-1 win at Yankee Stadium last night. Tonight it will be Rick Porcello to the mound opposite CC Sabathia. It's an 8:07 start time. Meanwhile, the Rays have extended the contract to their manager, Kevin Cash. He's on board through 2024, and the team has an option for the year after that. Bruins over the Senators, 6-3 in the Bees' home opener yesterday. Patrice Bergeron with the hat trick. Thursday night, once again at home when the Edmonton Oilers come to town. Saints and Redskins played Monday Night Football last night. New Orleans with a 43-19 win. Patriots will host the Chiefs on Sunday. Chiefs-Bengals game the following week, so a week from Sunday, flex to the primetime slot. Some were concerned that perhaps the Pats-Bears game on October 21st would be flexed, but no, that will remain a 1 p.m. start in Chicago. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston. What? I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The 0-2. Hit on the ground, assured. Backhanded by Bogarts. A long throw in time. Ball game over. Boston wins. So the Red Sox take a 2-1 lead in the best of 5 series as they beat the Yankees severely about the head and shoulders, winning 16-1.
I don't know if everybody caught this last night.
I'm only scarred about the face and breast, chest, neck, and head. It's not too bad.
But last night, in the late innings, you got an appearance from Eduardo Rodriguez. Eduardo Rodriguez on last night for the final inning of work for your Boston Red Sox. Nathan Eovaldi went 7 strong innings, allowing just the 1 run. Only giving up 5 hits, striking out 5. You had Heath Hembry going in the 8th. And then in the 9th, and by the way, Hembry is a guy who didn't even make the roster. He got added to the roster because Stephen Wright has a loose body in his knee. The old loose body
injury. What does that mean? Loose
means
body.
It probably,
I understand. It's a little piece of something floating around.
Probably means that a piece of that cartilage that was being reconstructed through micro fracture
snippet.
Was cut away and sort of floating now in the knee.
The remnants of John Farrell still floating around his knee.
So you've got that going on. So he gets pulled off the roster. And so Hembry gets added. So he's a guy who wasn't even worthy of being on the roster for the series. Okay, that tells you what the Red Sox think about him. Dave Dombrowski, Alex Cora, etc. And then in the 9th inning, with, again, the score 16-1, Alex Cora brings in Eduardo Rodriguez. That was a message. That was a message to Eduardo Rodriguez, to E-Rod, that you are firmly in the doghouse, my friend. That is where you are on this team right now, giving what happened with you claiming you slipped off the mound and that's why you couldn't make the play at first base. This is what Alex Cora said on Sunday when they got to the Bronx. He basically called out Rodriguez. Here it is. If you missed this the other day, here is the manager of the Red Sox calling out Eduardo Rodriguez and holding him accountable.
With E-Rod last night, was that acceptable when he didn't cover first?
I just talked to him. I actually told him that just be accountable. That's it. I guess he told you guys his slip or something like that. And like, if you don't break right away, just be accountable. You know, that's what we asked. And he's like, yeah, my fault. You know, I just didn't break. That's it. Like, I get it. You know, next time, just bust your ass to first base. That's all you got to do. The thing is that, I look at the play, it's not guaranteed that he's going to be out, but we probably have a chance, you know. And where we at right now at this stage, we can't take plays off. We didn't do that the whole season. It just happened yesterday. But I talked to him, and we're on the same page. And hopefully the next round ball to first, he goes to first, and we get him.
Wow. He's telling you, he's relaying the conversation that he basically said to Rodriguez, don't BS me. You can slip off the mound.
I get why you're trying to BS me.
Don't BS me.
Just don't BS me. Just be accountable.
I know you
be
didn't accountable. Slip.
I'm just letting it go. I'm letting it go this time, and I'm fine with it. We're fine. There's no issue between us, but just bust your ass the first, okay? Don't make me talk about it.
Don't lie to me. You've already insulted me by not caring about the play. Don't then lie to me about what happened on the play. Just tell me you bleeped up, and we can try to move on here.
Right. You don't have to be perfect. Just be accountable.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Be accountable.
That felt like Alex Cora is holding him accountable last night. Here's your role on the team now. Mop-up duty.
What if he did that to Price?
So
you guys were texting yesterday, too. Like,
but Price is not an
Price
effort
in here.
There.
I know.
I would have.
Wow.
If I had an opportunity last night, but Eovaldi was just so
it was
economical.
Cruising.
There was no point in taking him out. He wasn't. he was just sort of moving along. He didn't throw a lot of pitches. You just keep him in there.
Yeah.
It's going well. So the opportunity didn't present itself, but I wouldn't have been afraid to use Price last night. That's pregame last night with all the players on the line, because the first game of the series in New York, they line up all the players and introduce them individually. And that's the cheer that David Price got in the Bronx before last night's game.
It's unbelievable.
They love him. They love him.
Just give me a shovel. Let me dig the hole. Let me jump in it. I don't even want to be here. I want to just run and hide. That's just so bad. Makes you feel so bad.
617-779-0985. Let's go back to your phone. So Joe's in Boston. Joe.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Thanks. What's up, Joe?
I want to talk to you about why it's Alex Cora's fault Brock Holt and the bench act the way they did. It's because up that big of a lead, so you've been a part of blowouts in the past, that whole bench is loose. That whole bench is fired up. And him saying that he's going to go yard off that kid after, you know, Eovaldi pitched great, is what happens when you're up 15. And he's got no control over that bench.
So he does have control. I mean, I get what you're saying, though, Joe. Is that when you get up big, why is everyone still in the game? Right? I guess.
Yeah.
You can't replace everybody, though. Can't. I thought it was a little odd, like, that some guys didn't get in last night. Right? Like, put them in there. Get some at-bats late, whatever it might be. You know?
Yeah.
Vasquez was still in there late. What's the point? Get some other guys in there. I know that Swihart came in and pinch hit. But,
Well, Kinsler got in late.
I agree.
Did he?
Yeah, he hit.
He didn't have it at bat, though, right?
I think he got a hit, yeah.
Did he?
I think he got a hit, and then they moved Holt to first base, Kinsler to second.
What inning was that?
It's kind of. I think it was a good thing, because kind of foreshadowing like what their late inning defensive replacements would be.
It was the eighth inning. Kinsler was up in the eighth inning, you're right.
But that's what they're going to do. If Moreland can't go, that's their late in defense, is putting Kinsler in and moving Holt to first.
Yeah, I think Moreland is going to be okay, though, at some point. Did they say that he could have played last night? That... I mean, he wasn't going to play. It was
they made
be
a joke about
anyway.
Kirk Gibson, which makes it sound way worse than I thought it was.
No, I don't think it's that bad. They don't seem too concerned about it. But I think tonight with the lefty, you have Pearson there anyway. So it's not like he would have played tonight. So you're going to get Pearce again tonight.
It's not like he's Nunez jelly knee back in the series last year.
Ryan's in Manchester. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Okay, call us back, Ryan. We're going to get more of your calls coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've been talking a lot of Red Sox and Yankees today with Game 4. Coming up tonight, Rick Porcello against CC Sabathia. More on that next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
First ball swinging Brock Holt, a base hit. And the singles continue to come for the Red Sox.
Two on for Holt.
And a line drive, fair ball into the corner it goes. On his way to third is Holt. It's a two RBI triple. That one's driven into right center field.
Dive.
And on the chase, that is going to bounce up and out. Have a night, Brock Holt. It's an RBI double for Holt, who has three runs batted in. Is a home run shy of the cycle right now. Down the right field line, that is a fair ball. Run and the cycle for Brock Holt. He hits for the cycle in a postseason game.
Brock Holt in for the cycle. Good for him. I like the cycle. I give a nice job to the cycle. I like the cycles. Is it better than two home runs and two doubles? No, it's not. It's a funny little baseball oddity. We don't all have to be miserable about it like Maz. I got no problem with him celebrating it on the field, high-fiving, whatever it
is. Just as long as Maz is consistent with it, that's all.
I just can't stand up and down about it. That's all I don't like about it. But I've obviously struck a nerve with many of you. Jim in the car, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jim.
So nice shades, man. Your style.
Thanks, brother.
All right, listen. I think Brock Holt, his celebration, whatever you want to call it, was great. They were playing a game. They were like little kids in that dugout. It's something that has never.
I don't have a problem with the dugout celebration.
No one has a problem with that.
We're talking about him talking about it after the game.
What'd you make of his comments?
Well, of course they didn't even put a pitcher up there to pitch against him. They're putting a positional player up there. That's like disrespect to me. That's saying that they control anybody up there.
So you're saying they disrespected Brock Holt.
Listen, if they put a positional player up there to pitch, what is that saying?
Listen, Jim, you're making an argument against I don't know who or what, but no one has said here that he shouldn't have hit a home run.
Right.
Or no one has said that he shouldn't be happy and celebrate it, you know, coming around third base or pointing to his teammates or whatever it is. No one's saying that. No one here has said anything to that effect.
Nope.
I thought his comments were a little much after the game.
You should enjoy rounding the bases, looking back as he said, and he saw everybody in the dugout very excited.
A little much. Like, come on, Brock.
It just shows you he hasn't
been better than this.
He hasn't been there. That's a big part of it. I said it earlier. If that's Betts or Martinez, they're not giving you that. They're not giving you that.
Well, obviously, yeah, I knew I needed a home run. You know, I saw Roman was on the mound, so you get a little antsy when a position player's on the mound. And, you know, I told everyone, get me up. I need a home run for a cycle. I was going to try to hit a home run. I figured I'd ground out to first, be out in front of something. But I scooted up in the box a little bit, and I was going to be swinging at anything and try to hook anything. And obviously, you don't expect to hit a home run, but I was trying to.
Okay, it gets worse the more you play it.
You want to keep going?
No,
keep going.
No, because I felt totally different about this prior to hearing the audio.
Keep going.
Trying to hit a home run. That's probably the first time I've ever tried to do that. And, rounding the bases, seeing everybody going nuts in the dugout was a pretty cool moment for me. And, like I said, tonight's, this is something I'll remember for a long, long time.
He should, because I
got to remember that for a long, long time.
He's telling you, we're in the dugout. Oh, I'm getting itchy. I see Romine up there. Give me up. Let's go. We can hit it off him. We can knock him out.
Got excited.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Got excited. Who wouldn't be?
I wish he didn't play the postgame.
Austin Romine.
Yep. Nice little moment for that kid.
It's a BP cycle, but it's still a cycle. Still in regulation.
Oh, you're asterisking it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Wade O'Murray gets it.
You don't get credit for a cycle.
Did that game count yesterday?
You don't get too much credit for that. When you hit it off, it was batting practice. Austin Romine.
What do you think is going to happen an hour from now?
It's like a pitching coach.
Oh, you think I'm bad?
They're going to have an asterisk graphic ready to go.
Don't bring the whiteboard in, please.
Jim is in Beverly. Jim.
Hey, Mark.
Hey. Jim, what's up, Jim?
What's up, Mark?
What's up?
So, I don't know. You guys, you're being too PC here. So, think about it. It's the first time it's ever been done in the history of baseball. No one's ever done it before. Look who we're talking about. It's Brock Holt.
Which tells you how really difficult the achievement must be. When, you know, all the greats that have played the game. You're right. I would definitely take Brock Holt over all the greats that have played in the history of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Ruth, DiMaggio,
Holt. I just can't believe
it.
Manny or Ortiz
All the guys who've had the historic moments in New York, I put Holt right there at the top of the list.
Jeter, yeah.
Come on.
All I'm saying is look who it is. It's Brock Holt. The guy hugs J.D. Martinez and jumps up and down in the dugout like a 14-year-old. I mean, the guy's excited. I cut him some slack. And this bitch.
No, I'm not in the business of cutting people slack. That's not what I do. cut him some slack. Don't talk about that.
There's no slack cutting.
What? There's no slack cutting here.
Baseball?
No, thank you. I prefer not to. Nope. Slack cutting.
I think the audio speaks for itself.
What if we did that after every game of every team in town? After something goes wrong or something we find ridiculous, forget it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to cut him slack today. Well, that's a good show. That's good. I don't think we'd be in business very long if we really felt that way.
Be like Sony Michelle.
I'm not saying I manufacture anything here. I'm just saying, what? No. Cutting slack?
Hey, Sony, what'd you think of
what
do you think your 34-yard and a touchdown run last week against the Colts? Oh, I bounced off tackle and I saw daylight, so I kicked it outside. And then it was like, remember like that Austin Romine thing? I saw that backup safety there. And I'm going to stiff arm him. I'm going to run him over.
You start beforehand. I was standing on the sideline. Yeah. Next time out there, if I can bounce off that first tackle, I bet I'm going to be able to see some daylight. So I was really itching to get out there. It's such a pink hat thing to celebrate, hitting for the cycle, especially at this stage in the season.
It's a hard
if you
comment.
Do it. If you do it in June and you do it in all right, now you can have some fun with it. This is not time to have fun. Not right now. You got a big win over a good team last night. Keep your foot on their neck and go do it again tonight. Don't talk about how you did it because you haven't done it yet. You accomplished something last night that's an oddity as much as it is an accomplishment. A rarity, sure. But it's just a thing. It's like this arbitrary accomplishment.
You know what I would like to ask Brock Holt, by the way? How come you didn't try to hit a home run your first three at-bats last night? How come you waited for the fourth to try and hit the home run?
Because he was hitting off a guy who's not a pitcher.
You think Sabathia's taking him out tonight going, look at my chops. I got that guy Brock Holt coming up next.
I tell you what, Brock, why don't you get up there and scoot up in the box tonight?
Yeah.
And if assuming he's in the starting lineup, which I hope he is.
Wouldn't that be the
case? Because I wanted Brock Holt in the lineup last night. I told you that yesterday. This guy's got to get in there. They've got to play him. He's going to help them win. And he absolutely did. I'm not trying to take away anything from his performance last night because they needed him, and he came through. Awesome. Good for him. Now, tonight, why don't you scoot up in the box there and try and hook one down the line against CeCe?
Yeah, why don't you try and crowd the plate a little bit against CeCe tonight? See how that works out for you.
And I think
Too much talk too early.
Wouldn't it be something
Brock Holt.
Wouldn't it be something if Sabathia spins a gem, but he doesn't hit Brock Holt, but he buzzes him, and like all of a sudden Holt's kick tries to go after him. You get a little bit of a bench clearance.
I don't think you're going to get CeCe going after guys.
And that sparks the Yankees, though. Just imagine if Brock Holt, of all people.
There's two guys, Benintendi and Holt, that if you're in that Yankee clubhouse last night and you hear Brock Holt, you're going to say, is this guy kidding me with this crap? We had a positional player on the mound, and he's up huge, and he's trying to hit home runs because he's excited that he's facing a positional guy on the mound? Bleep him.
He wanted it.
You know, I could see them going inside, and I don't think they're going to hit him.
It's like he wanted it.
I don't think they'll hit him. That would be stupid if they did that. It'd be so dumb.
They're not going to hit him. They're not going to hit him.
Would you be shocked?
I wouldn't be shocked, though, because I think they're dumb enough to do it.
I would.
I think that team. And
that means they would just listen to the manager.
You think that there are, you know, Severino or, you know, we're talking about Angel Hernandez today in terms of being too quick to be offended. You're looking at CeCe Sabathia tonight, who last year bitched out the Red Sox over bunting on him. And that's something I would be doing tonight, by the way. Bunt, bunt, bunt. You get to that bottom of the order, JBJ, I want you bunting every single time you go to the plate. I want him to bunt fourth every time he faces Sabathia tonight. Bunt. Go chase it, buddy. Go chase it since you hate bunting so much.
Everybody loves it today. Everybody thinks we're being too hard. Yeah, everybody wants to celebrate it. What if the Sox get their teeth kicked in tonight 12-0? And then you have to win game five. I don't care. And I don't care that it's back in Boston. Are you still going to be as celebratory and, good for him? That's a nice little story. And you should celebrate it and rub their face in it. And it's fine for him to talk about it as much as he wants. You're going to feel the same way if the Sox get absolutely pummeled tonight? I mean, I don't feel that way now. So, but I will feel even worse about it tomorrow and say, yeah. Maybe you should have given him a little less bulletin board material, just a tiny bit. And I'm not saying you don't swing on the 3-0 pitch. Fine, swing away. You steal second when you're up 10 runs. Fine, do all that. Don't put on an oral clinic after you hit the home run and hit for the cycle and say, well, this is how I did it. I saw that I had a chance to do it, and I begged for back into the game so I could, you know, get the don't do that. Win one more game.
Act like a major league ball player and don't tell me how excited you are to face a positional player making it onto the mound. Please, don't do that. Don't do that, especially when you have a giant lead in a playoff series.
Zoe's still laughing about oral clinic.
Late innings last night, it got so bad in New York that TBS was giving you a tour of Yankee Stadium. They must have shown you a shot of Monument Park in Yankee Stadium.
We couldn't show the
half
seats
a dozen times. I mean, we were looking at the retired numbers. We were looking at the headstones out there. We were looking at everything. You would think they're
look at
buried
the buildings.
Out
look
there.
At the tall buildings.
It looks like a cemetery. I've always thought that about Monument Park. It looks like a cemetery. This is weird. So they're giving you like the full stadium tour there last night on TBS because they didn't have anything else to talk about because the game was over. And they eventually made their way on the stadium tour to the Red Sox dugout and a guy who was on the railing. That would be Dustin Pedroia. Let's get to that coming up in 90 seconds.